Hello, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. And so forth. I'm looking at my MySpace page here, because I'm a nerd. Yesterday, I gotta see if this is still okay. People were posting some pretty good pictures of Anna Nicole Smith yesterday, because they had all vanished from Google. Like, you know, Google had like some image galleries and stuff of her up. Because, of course, I hadn't even thought about them for years. And, of course, once she was dead, I was like, oh, remember that great photo layout she did, and I couldn't find any of them. And so somebody had gone and posted a bunch of them on my... On the MySpace. Let's see. See right here, there's a great photograph of her. And they're all safe for work, but there's a photograph. But wait, this photograph of her looks so much like Jane Mansfield. You wouldn't even really be able to, I mean, if just a passing glance, you wouldn't even be able to tell them apart. So it's just a black and white photograph of her kind of like laying on a rug or something. Anyway, it's 503-733-2970. Coming up in a short while, Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio with a review of Hannibal Rising, which looks terrible. We'll also do It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. We'll try to squeeze in the suburban perspective as well. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth. Oh, and at RickEmerson.com is a great photo of her sticking her ass out while like 800 guys with cameras film it. That's from Chris Nathan. Here's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Yes, Van Zandt, we'll go to an alcohol diversion program.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, but he made a brief appearance in court today, avoiding reporters, who were told his hearing will be held later.
I think I'm going to go to rehab.
So they lied to all these honest reporters.
We should go to rehab, all of us.
The diversion program avoids suspension of driver's license, and there's no requirement to serve jail time or perform community service, which is a little slap on the hand. That's that.
But he's going to rehab. Why? Like, I didn't even ever hear about
anything. He was arrested on drunk driving charges in December.
Oh, I don't remember that. Okay. Yeah.
Well, on Burnside.
You don't remember
Gus Van Zandt?
Yeah.
Was I gone? Was that when during the week when
no.
I was gone?
No. You were here.
You were here.
All right. Well, okay. Well, whatever. Gus Van Zandt, blah, 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 rehab. I think I want to go to rehab just to see what it's like.
Everybody should.
Go commit a crime. It sounds like a great place. Do we know anybody who's been in rehab? Like real rehab?
No.
Sarah, you must know somebody who's been in rehab.
I know some people in AA.
Yeah, that's not the same.
Maybe one of my friends went to rehab.
That's just a bunch of bad folding chairs in a church.
Nobody's ever told me personal stories about being in rehab.
Big urn of bad coffee. Rick, about call screening. What the hell is Scotty J doing? Is he even screening calls today? Every call that is coming through is some hack morning show joke. Scotty J, enough. Quit researching Michael Jackson songs and get to screening calls. Jesus God Almighty, says this guy who's taken it upon him to lecture Scotty about his job. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, sadly, she didn't choke to death in her own vomit. And there's no evidence that Anna Nicole Smith died as a result of a crime, but officials say the exact cause has not yet been determined. Anna Nicole's sister, Donna, doesn't buy that and blames Howard K. Stern for her sister's death and Daniel's death.
I just want to know what's going to go on with my niece and if Howard K. Stern is actually going to ever be punished for any of his involvement in this.
Oh, everybody loves him.
I do point fingers at him.
More than likely not, lady.
Yeah, no, he's everybody's favorite guy right now. I if they don't find him guilty of something in this, the whole world's going to be feeling really dissatisfied.
They will. He's so unlikable, they're going to.
Well, and he's got to be. I mean, I say this, my opinion. It does seem like he's such a sleazy guy, he's got to be dirty.
Comes across as a rodent.
He does.
He's a nutria.
He's got to be dirty of something. I mean, there's got to be something on that guy. You know what I mean?
He'll find something.
Yeah. All right.
Meanwhile, former attorney Len Leeds says Howard K. Stern will not necessarily be awarded any money, so there.
We heard about this commitment ceremony to Howard K. Stern. I don't know if that's a legal ceremony, if it's a legal marriage. If, in fact, it was, theoretically, he would have a surviving spouse's share. But, you know, that was under the Bahamas law, and that's all up in the air.
I swear to God, the Bahamas are where Mick Jagger and Jerry Hall got married. And in 1999, there was exactly the same story. about how Jerry Hall went to file for alimony, and Mick was like, ha-ha, we weren't really married. And it's because it was in the Bahamas, and it was a commitment ceremony. It turned out it wasn't legally binding. So this story is both great and terrible, because and it's terrible and great for exactly the same reasons, which is it's just going to stretch on forever and ever and ever and ever, and there's going to be endless peeling and onion with this thing. Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
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 Hi.
Hi. Just wanted to point out...
I swear to God. Yes?
...that if Anna Nicole Smith's son Daniel is the father of the little girl...
Here we go.
...then her ex-husband is a grandfather. And therefore, he can join the custody race.
Wait, hold on. Now, this might actually be an interesting
call.
No,
that is
no,
a good point.
You might not be retarded. Hold on. Let's think here. If what? If the son...
If Daniel's father...
Okay, hold on. I actually... Just hold on. I actually have to draw this out. Hold on. Anna? Okay, I'm drawing...
Draw one of those family trees.
I am.
That's like the Mormons would do.
That's exactly what I'm doing. Anna? Let's see. Okay, and then Daniel is beneath the son, Daniel. This is gripping for everybody at home, I'm sure. Okay, and then if he was also the father... of the baby. Okay, and then what was your next point?
My next point was his father, Daniel's father, is the grandfather who's Anna Nicole's ex-husband.
And is Daniel's father the fry cook that she married when she was like 16?
Yeah.
So he would be...
in the race for the money.
He would then be the kid's grandfather.
Right. Which would mean her ex-husband was the grandfather of her youngest child.
Weird. All right.
Ain't that America?
It really is. In this book I always talk about, Under the Banner of Heaven, which is a fantastic book by John Krakauer, they talk a lot about polygamous families in the fundamentalist Mormon church. And the most insane family trees, things that sound like jokes but are real, where like women are their own grandmothers and people are their own like niece and their own great aunt, and where like somebody's mom is also like their sister and like their daughter-in-law, and just these insane family trees. All right, that's a pretty fascinating point, actually. All right. Thank you, sir.
You betcha.
It was not retarded. Okay, there you go. I thought that call was going to be retarded. All right, not at all. Fantastic.
Here's so, Steve Marley. Daniel Lynn could be the heiress of up to $477 million of J. Howard Marshall's fortune if her mother wins her federal court battle. That's a simple answer. In the end, where the case ends up being tried is all important, so we'll find out what happens. Also, rates at the hotel room where Anna Nicole Smith died... for a two-bedroom, 750-square-foot suite, start at $1,250 a night. The suite included a living room, dining room, flat-screen TV, and Egyptian cotton sheets.
I don't know what the thread count was. All right. Well, you know all that stuff's going to be on eBay. Everything from her room will be on eBay. All right. Hey, is Scott Daly here? Scotty J? He is here. Okay. Why don't you go ahead and bring him into the studio? Will. All right, thank you. Will, you... Hey, it's Dustin Diamond. How you doing, brother? All right, Will, every day you got to get... It's the facial hair that does it, don't you think, Sarah?
Stop putting me in this position.
You know it's true. You've already admitted he looks like Dustin Diamond.
He does not.
You said it last week. All right.
You did, Sarah.
Let's welcome out of the Rick Emerson Show, Scott Daly from Film People Radio. Hello, Sarah. How are you?
I'm well.
Hey, you broken up about Anna Nicole?
I'm heartbroken. I haven't been able to leave my house all day.
Okay.
It took everything to just come down to the studio.
All right, so we've got three candidates for father right now. We've got Howard K. Stern, we've got, Larry Burkhead, we've got, four. We've got Zsa Zsa Gabor's husband, and we've got Anna Nicole Smith's other son, Daniel, or other kid, Daniel, who Sarah and I are now putting all of our chips on. We are now betting everything on Daniel Smith for being the father.
I never saw the show. I never really saw them interact together. But I would have to, just hearing from what you said about her being on the show, it's kind of creepy. I might go now. My first instinct told me the lawyer, Howard K. Stern, because I saw them together.
No.
It was always weird. But creepily enough, I think I'm going to have to go to you.
No, and I bet that guy wears sex wearing like a leather, like a black leather zippy mask. He totally does. You know that's true.
Zippy.
You know with a zippy mouth. Don't pretend you don't know what I'm talking about.
Mouth. You're talking about the gimp.
You know,
I know, but why the zipper? It seems like if you want to open it, like you don't want anything bulky there.
No, it's
what?
Oh, well, that's a fair point. I don't really know how that works.
I've never understood
Scott?
That.
I think the gimp's sleeping, huh?
Well, I don't really know how that works.
I don't know how it works.
That's a fair point. I mean, you don't want to put anything in that.
I would imagine it's for...
It's going to be sharp.
I would imagine it's for some sort of control.
Well, yeah, but I mean...
That's all I know.
It seems like that does then...
But if it's unzipped...
That prevents the mouth from being, you know, you can't... Because then with the hole and the ow-ow, and the ow, it chafes. And the Mohegan.
I'm so glad you're confused about that, too.
I never thought about it until just now.
How we got from Santa Nicole Smith to this, I have no idea.
Well, hey, it's all right. Siri, well, don't we have a... can't one of our fine sponsors probably answer that question
I'm
for
sure
us?
I'm sure someone in your vast audience can answer that question
Seriously, I mean, we probably got an advertiser who can answer that question.
I look kind of scary unzipped, like little metal teeth.
Oh, man, look, Rick Emerson's not approved. But there's certain things that just, and again, I don't care what anybody's into, whatever, it's a free country, and that's part of this. You know what, part of being an American is the right to hump any way you want to, and I don't pass any judgment.
And my name's Paul, this is between y'all.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. I don't really care, but there's certain things that freak me out. Laura and I used to live near this place in San Diego called The Crypt, which was like this, it was like a leather store. It was like a leather sex shop kind of a place, you know, it was like they sold like all the weird body outfits and the zippy masks and all the weird crap. And they sold, like, one of those full-on outfits that you only see in Trent Reznor videos. And it's, like, the full, like, sensory deprivation suit. It's like a leather, or not leather, but like a rubbery suit. Not latex, but, like, thick-ass rubber. And then, like, a full-on, like, mask and, like, a blindfold and, like, a gas mask little thing. And it came with an oxygen tank that you had to breathe through. And then it had, like, a bunch of rings so you could, like, be hung from the ceiling. And it was, like, a total sensory deprivation suit. Huh. And it's, like, just looking at the thing terrified me.
I said it terrified me. It was the victim in 7, the sin victim.
Oh, yeah. Let's not talk
that
about that. Some guys come in here carrying whole boxes of stuff.
Yeah.
That Crypt place was full of that kind of crap.
Was that in L.A.?
It was in San Diego. San Diego. But I mean, L.A.'s undoubtedly got its own, you know, any number of those places. But, I mean, it was a weird place. And, I mean, again, it's just straight. And whatever.
Strange world we live in.
It really is. Well, let's make a note to self. Zippy mask. How? How?
All right. How and how?
I'm curious. All right, it's 503.
You and I both have a little red-haired friend that could probably help us out with that.
A little red-haired friend. I swear to God, for a minute, I thought...
It's their first name, Lucky.
I really thought you were talking about something else. I didn't know what it was, but I thought that was like sex code for a second. When you're like a little red-haired friend, and I'm like, is that like... Is a red-haired friend like Aunt Flo? Like, not that it was your period, but I'm like, is it sex code? Like, I'm like, what is a red-haired friend? I'm like, what is that code for?
You and I both have a little...
I'm not saying it's menstrual code, but I'm saying I thought you were talking about, like, sex code for a second. I'm like, what is the red-haired friend? Really, do you think?
Oh, yeah.
With the zippy mouth? That person...
Maybe we should get a voice-disguiser.
That person wouldn't know about the zippy mouth.
I think they might.
People really surprise you, Rick Emerson.
I mean, I know some other things that person would be able to tell me about, but I didn't think the zippy mouth was among them. Is this frustrating or titillating for the audience? Which do you suppose?
They probably know what the zippy mouth is for.
Who? This person or the audience?
The audience.
All right. The audience probably doesn't care. The audience probably figured out about the zippy mouth a long time ago. It's just you and I.
Maybe it's the pain factor. Maybe it's people who are into, like,
by the way,
who's into that, though?
Hold on, but let's just stop for a second. Are you wearing, is it today or was it yesterday? The days are blurring together in my head that you wore your special bracelet.
Oh, I wore it yesterday.
Your special, Sarah, the bracelet that Sarah bought at Fantasy Video with me, that she thought was a bracelet. She thought it was to go around the base of a man's wrist.
Gee.
And it turns...
Beads?
It had studs,
no,
though.
Yeah, it's like black leather and it has spikes on it. It's
a black leather ring.
Okay.
That she thought was supposed to be put snugly around the base of a man's hand.
Snugly.
It doesn't go around the base of a man's hand.
That's not where it belongs, Sarah Dillon.
Oh.
But you wore it to work yesterday.
I love it.
You
that
wore
bracelet.
It to work as a bracelet. Which is great because, and here's, and when I say sexy, I don't mean that in the sense that it's
other
than
that. You use the word sexy a lot.
Well, I realized the other day that I use that word in a sort of media sense and that I need to clarify that because that's the, you know, the media, when they say sexy, it's just like means interesting or titillating or whatever. Not necessarily arousing, but you know, the kind of cool thing about that is you know, that somewhere in this building, you walked by a guy just the law of averages, is that you walked by a guy who probably saw that and recognized it for what it was, and maybe thought that, like, I don't know, maybe it's like that whole, maybe...
It looks like I'm offering.
Totally, it's like that hanky code.
Oh, God.
It's like where you had the green hanky hanging out of your right rear pocket or something, and that means that, like, I don't know, that you get it on, and you know, with Clydesdales at a truck stop or something, or whatever the green hanky means. Hello. Hear me in the back. I don't know what the green hanky means. I don't know who my little red friend is either.
With
his zippy mouth. This whole conversation's become disgusting.
You don't know much, do you, Rick?
No, I don't know. I don't know a whole lot about much. I don't know nothing about nothing. It's 503-733-2970. Well, okay. Should we break here?
Yeah, let's
that seems
do
like
that.
A good
yeah,
time.
Go
let's
ahead,
break. We'll come back. Talk to Scott Daly. You've seen Hannibal Rising?
I have indeed.
I mean, I don't even know why I'm teasing.
Oh, no, I've got lots to say about it.
Okay. We'll talk to Tim Riley's Ministry of Truth. That's like I said, the ones that Rudolph Valentino has a MySpace page. Which is creepy. Jesus on MySpace.
I want to know what Jesus blogs say.
It angers me.
Don't hate Jesus, Sarah.
Do you suppose Jesus has to request that you become his friend?
Jesus only has 17,000 friends.
Well, you better get on it. Kevin Smith's got over 200.
It's Jesus is no Dink Cook. 503-733-2970 is the Rick Emerson radio program. Jesus on MySpace is a great name for a band.
I was just thinking that.
Hey, speaking of bands, by the way, what are you doing on...
People are leaving comments for Jesus.
I would.
Jesus,
you're made angry by things.
You're
awesome.
Awesome.
Let angry. Just don't take a breath.
Do you not think it's weird that Jesus is on my MySpace page?
Let's talk about Saturday. On Saturday evening, what are you doing? You ought to be going to the Tonic Lounge to see... we've got our friend Lyle from the Muddy River Nightmare Band. When is this band... Is it Bomf? Or am I supposed to say B-O-M-F? Sarah's not
I
even listening.
Know.
You just completely disengaged from the show.
No,
let go of the
Jesus MySpace
page. Let go of the Jesus MySpace page. The point is let's see.
Bumps, it's funnier.
Muddy River Nightmare Band. Let's see. Members of the Muddy River Nightmare Band, SK and the Punk Ass Bitches, Diamond, blah, 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 and the Private. I don't even understand what the heck these band names are. Anyway, they're going to be reuniting. I'm doing a really, really bad job of this.
Go to the Sonic Lounge on Saturday.
Apparently there was a band at one point called Bomf, B-O-M-F, featuring members of who are now in the SK and the Punk Ass Bitches and Muddy River Nightmare Band. They're going to be playing the Tonic on Saturday, and apparently it's going to be badass. Oh, and 800 Octane and the Lopez are also going to be playing there.
All right.
Who we like as well. So all friends of the Rick Emerson Show. So go there on Saturday.
Support local music.
Yes. Lyle has asked me if I will be there. I have lied and said yes. It's 503-733-2970. Let me get these calls real quickly. Then we'll talk to Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. And Scott Daly is going to tell us how bad Hannibal Rising really is. By the way, during the break, we had the following quotes from Sarah Dillon.
You said you
didn't. Sarah said, quote,
stop. I wasn't.
You drama kids are all into the bondage. And then later on, Sarah said, it's like role playing. And then Sarah said, to the disappointment and heartbreak of millions, I don't get the whole spanking thing. So there you go. Please resist the urge to explain, quote, the whole spanking thing.
Does anyone know about, have you had any emails with the zippy mouth?
Well, let's take caller number two, shall we? Alicia?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
I do have the gravelly voice right now, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. It's cool. It's sultry.
I smoked too many cigarettes and drank too much tequila last night.
No, here's why I was noting your voice, because we saw that we thought for a moment you were someone else. It's not a bad thing. I looked at the screen, I saw the name and the comment, and I thought for a minute it was somebody that we know, and it is not. It is a different Alicia. But anyway, so go ahead. You've got a comment on the zippy mask.
Yeah, the zippy mask. I formally kind of professionally dabbled in that for a while.
Now, when you say professionally dabbled in that, were you a dominatrix or were you a...
Yes.
Okay, so you were not a professional submissive.
No.
All right.
No. That is, yeah. So the zippy mask is definitely for the pain factor. You want to make sure that they're, like, kind of extra small and really close to the skin. And it's really helpful if the person has facial hair. You really, really want to use those.
All right, let's just take this step by step. So
you keep it close to your face?
So we were talking about the black leather mask with the zip-up mouth, kind of like they use in Pulp Fiction.
Right.
And Sarah and I, who are... chaste and pure as the driven snow and don't know about such things. Sarah and I were asking that if the person wearing the mask with the zippy mouth, and I realize if I say zippy mouth, I sound like a perverted 5-year-old. If the person with the zipper mouth mask...
Oh, way to man it up.
Was, shut your mouth! If the person with the zipper mouth mask was performing,
I shouldn't eat something.
If the person was performing any sort of Oval Office activity, that it would cause pain to the other person.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't know about that part.
Oh, that's true. I guess you wouldn't. Not without some sort of attachment.
Right. Yeah, you just...
The deal with the zipper mouth, though, is that it's supposed to cause a pain to the person wearing the mask?
Yeah, because they have no control over it. They don't control whether or not they unzip it or...
Sure, because that's up to the person or whatever. Right. So when you zip it closed, it's supposed to be closed and sort of chafy and scrapey.
Right, and especially when you open it, that's the best part, because you do it really quickly and really close to the skin.
Does it hurt?
Well, I've heard a few moans and whimpers before.
This is fascinating. Because I'm just so uninteresting myself, and so anybody who is interesting is fascinating to me. Of course, you must have made a ton of money doing that.
It was good, yeah. I mean, for a while, there's not a huge clientele base in Portland.
No.
Like, at first, when I first started doing it, it was great. I mean, it was 3 or 4 appointments a day, and then it started filtering off a little bit. But you can definitely make a really good living.
Why can't I get a job?
If you're younger and you're attractive and you're professional, and you know what you're doing, you can make really good money.
What celebrity would you say you most resemble, Alicia?
You know, I always heard Joey Lawrence Adams. That's the one I hear all the time.
Hello. this is so bad. See, I was going to ask that you leave your number with Scotty, so we had follow-up questions here. But now, now it just sounds perverse. I'm like, you got to leave your number. But no, I think I speak for Sarah here, too. Sarah will be the voice of reason. I think I speak for Sarah when I say quite reasonably that if you are comfortable with that, I think we'd like to have your number that we would keep on file in case questions like this come up, because there's just things you don't know. Would you be okay with that?
Sure, that's fine.
All right, Alicia, well, I'm going to put you on hold. Scotty will take your information, and if in the event that there are further issues like this that we need resolved or clarified, we'll talk to you about that.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Alicia, so much. I'm going to put you on hold. Don't go anywhere. All right, Scotty, if you can get Alicia's phone number there. She's on the 2. If you can just find out the... I'm looking down, waiting for it to be picked up.
Come on, Scotty.
Any second now.
Yeah.
Joey Lauren Adams. Bam.
I interviewed her once.
Bastard, you shut your mouth. All right, here's... before I zip you up. You spanking kids are all into the drama, or whatever the hell. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A folk in Washington man has been arrested for drunk driving for the 12th time. He's being held on $2 million bail. They want the bail to be high this time, so 42-year-old Charles Sorensen never drives a car again. And I, to America's favorite dead blonde. Apparently, we don't know what killed her yet, but she did not die of choking on her own vomit. Larry Burkhead, who claims to be Nicole Smith's former boyfriend, says the baby is his. Deborah Opry, his lawyer, says it's important that they know the child is being tested to find out if it really is.
It is very important that the DNA connect Anna with the baby being tested. We do not want a bait and switch of a child. It is a legitimate legal concern that the baby being tested is Anna Nicole's.
Now, yes, the baby will remain in the Bahamas for now.
But your client does want custody.
She was residing with Anna Nicole, and I don't consider Howard K. Stern the father, the presumed father, the husband, but she will remain as status quo at this time.
And
my client wants custody of his child.
And that's Larry Burkhead's lawyer?
Yes.
Oh, that's the part that I can't wait for. I don't even really care what killed her at this point. It doesn't matter. I mean, she's dead. It's probably some kind of drug.
Yeah, I just
want
to know the father of the baby.
Who's Larry Burkhead?
Larry Burkhead he's a weight trainer or something, or a weightlifter?
No, he was a photojournalist. He was actually he was paparazzi.
Oh, okay, well, there you go.
They became an item?
Well, I think it is acknowledged that they had a relationship.
Okay.
He claims he's the dad, though. And the thing about Howard K. Stern is, they say he's the presumptive father, but that's only because they went to the Bahamas where she had the kid. They went to the Bahamas and he put his name down on the birth certificate. Like, there's no medical reason for that.
Okay.
He's only the presumptive father in a legal sense, meaning like he's the guy who got to the blank form, like, dad, you know, and like wrote it down, signed it.
Got it.
So legally he's the presumptive father, but there's like no medical reason for that at all. Here's Jim Riley.
So, the late Anna Nicole Smith's attorney, Ron Rail, is in Los Angeles fighting Larry Burkhart's request for a DNA sample from this body before she's buried. And Rail said that Burkhart had plenty of time to do this before now.
Mr. Burkhead could have filed this proceeding in the Bahamas. He actually could have filed the same proceeding in California months before the baby was even delivered. You know, those are just the facts.
He's reluctant to speculate on how Miss Smith died.
I can't tell you. I don't want to. You know, just because everything's in the press and people want to speculate, I don't want to be one of them. So I don't know.
Might give it a shot.
Do it anyway.
Take a stab at it. Who knows?
When Daniel died, I told her then, I said, Ricky, be very careful, baby, who you hang with, because she might be next, and now she's next.
Bada bing. All right.
Is that her mother?
It's Mama.
That is. Sorry, Mama. Mama Smith.
I think she had too many drugs, just like Daddy. And I tried to warn her about drugs and the people that she hung around, and she didn't listen.
She's a poor role model.
You should call her at home and tell her it's her fault. This is Tim Riley. You're to blame. You should hang up.
Just like her daddy.
This email says, Sarah does indeed the spanking thing, does indeed understand the spanking thing. Oh, this is from Aaron.
Okay.
Blah, 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 blah. If Sarah knew better, she'd understand that drama nerds like girls who cut, not bondage girls. That's the speech, guys. Okay. Let's see. What else do we have here? What a strange program today. Let's see. Todd, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
I'll hail the beautiful, if not slightly angry, Sarah Dillon.
Yes. All right.
So I wanted to let you know, I had a couple of weeks off here, so I went down to CD Game Exchange, 5 locations, one near you.
Thank you, sir.
Got like this fist and a half full of DVDs. But I wanted to ask Scott, what was up with Scanner Darkly? You know, that kind of cartoony movie that had everybody who's anybody who was like in the theater for an hour and a half and then went straight to video.
The Linklater film with Keanu Reeves?
I don't get it, man. I was hyped up on Vicodin.
It kind of had to be, because it's based off of Philip K. Dick book, the same author who did Blade Runner, and it's kind of a loose adaptation of the book. I liked it. Linklater's first film, he did that kind of animation over live-action photography. What was that?
Waking Life.
Waking Life.
Rotoscope.
That gave me a splitting headache. This one I enjoyed.
Really?
It looked real. Oh,
I talked to people who didn't like Waking Life, and it just sort of puzzles me because it's weird. It
didn't catch my attention.
See, it's like opposite day because
it was too
like
pretentious
that movie.
For me.
Mm-hmm. See, me too.
And I shouldn't like it, but I did.
Really?
Like it's the kind of movie that I should hate.
Yeah, I
liked it quite a lot.
Pretentiousness and the squiggle vision, if you will, really gave
totally.
Me
totally. Now that's true.
Yeah,
it was squiggle vision.
But,
I only made it through an hour of that before I just said I don't get it.
What Scanner Darkly?
Is 300, you know, the movie that's in the theater coming out, is that going to be kind of the same idea? Or
No.
Have you seen it? Or
I don't think that trailer is as great as everybody else.
What's wrong with you, Rick?
It's okay. It's just, I know that it's supposed to look like a dream and so forth, but it just...
Have you seen the book? Have you read the book?
I haven't. But I'm talking about the trailer. I mean, the trailer that everyone's like, it's the greatest trailer in the history of the world. It just, I know that it's supposed to look dreamlike, but it just seems too fake.
What's great about it is the look of the film, the kind of sepia tone of the film,
right? Right.
And the Nine Inch Nails track they use over the top of it, it just fits it perfectly.
I suppose.
And it's just going to be, I mean, the blocking out of the sun with the arrows, I mean, that's just beautiful.
There's some cool imagery. There's no way the movie can live up to that.
Todd, answer your question. I have not seen it yet. There has not been a press screening of it, but there will be, I guarantee you. And Film Fever Radio is going to do all we can to at least have a few passes to give away, because we've been stoked for that movie for months.
Well, the trailer, I agree, the trailer looks hot. I mean, the guy says you will fill the air full of arrows, and that's great. We'll fight in the shade.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a classic line, and the movie's not even out yet.
And the whole line, "Tonight we die in hell," is just fantastic. And if you've read the Frank Miller graphic novel 300, it's amazing. They're just like in Sin City, there are images that were taken directly from the book and put on the screen, and that is fantastic.
I love Sin City. It's one of my top five favorite movies of all time. So that's why I was wondering about 300. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you, Todd. Yeah. All right, there you go. So you saw Hannibal Rising.
I did.
Here's the thing about Hannibal Rising, and then I'm going to get your review on it.
Right.
Is it like Red Dragon was sort of, neither here nor there to me. Hannibal was a bad book and a worse film.
Yes.
Hannibal Rising looks so bad, though, that I kind of want to see it.
No, you really don't.
It looks so bad, though.
Rick, I walked out of that theater, and I was pissed because I wasted 2 hours of my day.
I should have been sitting in my office
doing my work. I took a couple hours of PTO off to go to this movie, and I was like,
I know that going in, though, that it's going to be awful.
No, it's not even worth it. First of all, the allure to Hannibal Lecter is the creepiness, and it really set the tone in Silence of the Lambs, the relationship between Clarice and Dr. Lecter.
Sure.
And that's what kind of kept that film moving through the whole 2.5 hours. They tried desperately to do it again in Hannibal with Julianne Moore. Didn't work.
Right.
Book was bad. Film was bad. Red Dragon was just a poor remake of Manhunter, which is a much better film, but an adaptation of Thomas Miller's book, Red Dragon.
Right.
Now, Hannibal Rising is based off the book, Hannibal Rising, and this is the first screenplay written by, the first Hannibal screenplay written by the author of the book.
By Thomas Harris.
Thomas Harris, yeah. I said Miller earlier. It's Harris. Thank you. It starts out in Lithuania during World War II. Hannibal's a little boy. He's protecting his sister and his family. The Nazis come in, destroy his family in war, and now I'm not giving anything away here, they eat his sister.
Well, and that's all been revealed.
That was all
revealed in Hannibal like 5 years ago. In the previous book, they've all said that, his sister Misha was eaten. Yeah.
Exactly. And then this film turns into a revenge story. It doesn't do anything giving into the psyche of Hannibal Lecter, what he's all about. Or if they did, it was a really, really shallow
job. Is there a sequence in this film where Hannibal Lecter is trained by samurais?
Not trained by samurais, no, but there is a sequence. His uncle's wife is Japanese, and her family has ties to the samurais. And so there is some connection where she tries to teach him how to use the sword.
It's just retarded.
It is. And they use the obligatory samurai mask. With a face,
of
with
course.
That's his obsession with it. It's ridiculous. It's a complete waste of time.
It sounds so dumb.
It is so bad. The writing looks so awful.
The writing is horrendous. There's no element of suspense. There's no element of mystery, intrigue, no psychological mind F's, none of that. It's all just,
Every book in that series has been worse than the one that came before.
And it's so disappointing because Hannibal Lecter is such a great character.
They
really could have taken along with. I mean, they didn't have to go back. They could have had a little flashback scene of him as a kid, but they could have gone to his adult life and talked about
I want to see him as because I think they reference in either Red Dragon or Silence of the Lambs. They reference, when he got caught, when Hannibal was arrested, and it was like that they arrested him like at a dinner party.
Yeah,
he was busy serving like some guy to a bunch of people at a dinner party, and like he cut what's his name with a linoleum. I'm like, I want to see Hannibal as an adult.
That was Red Dragon, and they also in Silence of the Lambs they reference one of his most famous cases when Jodie Foster finds the head in the jar in the storage cabinet.
I looked in the yourself storage area.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the kind of Hannibal Lecter I wanted to learn about. I wanted to learn about what got him into that institution. But no, we get none of that.
I have this whole revenge story
that's awful.
I think Thomas Harris is just really bitter and jaded about the character and just has lost all. And so he's just trying to just alienate the audience and just cash in at the same time.
It's not going to work. This film's going to fail miserably. It's a bad, bad film. I expect it'll be on DVD by the end of March.
I was almost tempted to see it because it looks so awful.
No, don't. It's really, I mean, it's boring. It's not even scary. And that's the disappointing part. The biggest disappointment. There's no level of suspense. There's no terror. there's nothing.
All right. On that note, let's take a break here. We'll come back. No time. I think we may do the Suburban Perspective when we return, because the worst song ever is a little tricky because it's actually two songs, sort of. It's hard to explain. But we've got that. We've got the Tom Plant. There's just no time for that at all. I think we'll just have to do this break. We'll come back with Scotty J and then Tom Likas. The three. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Rick Emerson Show. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of our program. Thanks for, let's see if I've got, well, this doesn't want to, Scotty, I'm Scotty J, could you please enter the studio? My card-o-matic seems to have frozen up. So, Scotty, if you can join us here in the studio, that would be fantastic.
This is my favorite segment of the show.
The Scotty J.
I love this projective.
This is everybody's favorite segment. Scotty J, welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. How are you, sir? Hi, it's a microphone. How you doing?
Good afternoon.
How are you today?
Doing great.
All right. You going to be doing some drinking later?
I gotta do a little bit of a karaoke show first. It's kind of a charity deal.
Can you drink while you karaoke?
No.
Where is this?
Texas.
Where are you doing it? Where's the KJ gig at?
In the suburbs.
Sure. Okay. We have this. This comes to us from Michelle. And Michelle wants to know, I would like Scotty J's Suburban Perspective on this question. Does he believe that feminism has made the world a better place or a worse place?
Ooh.
Scotty J.
Keep in mind, you're sitting right next to Sarah Dillon.
I have an open mind. I want to hear what he has to say.
I believe that women have a time and place.
Oh, don't
be an
that
ass.
Yet. Really, Scotty, what do you think?
What do I think? Feminism? I think it's great as long as they want to put in their end of the deal. You know what I'm saying?
They.
So if it's having to do with work, if it's having to do with, you know, whatever it is, that it's, if it's going to be equal, it's going to be equal.
So let me ask,
and that makes me think of, like, going out. It's on the same lines as Likas talks about. Going out to dinner, she better be prepared to pay for me.
So let me ask you a question, Sky J.
Okay, hold on a second. Her paying for you isn't really feminism.
Sure it is.
Okay. No. If she paid for herself and you paid for you, that would be feminism. Her paying for you is just her paying for you because you're a cheap bastard.
Well, that can't be.
If you were Dutch, that's feminism. All right, what do you believe the downsides of feminism have been, Scotty, if any?
The downsides of feminism, well, Nancy Pelosi, for one. And Hillary.
Meaning?
Are you saying women in control is the downside of feminism, Scotty?
You know, just gals like that.
Gals. Skirts.
Dame. Scotty, let me ask you a question. If Sarah Dillon had a big box of paper with the full box of like 10 reams of paper, and she asked you to lift and put up a high shelf or something, would being, you know, you saying that feminism is okay, would you say, no, do it yourself, you're just like me, or would you do it for her?
Well, see, that's where I'm kind of caught in the middle. I would lift it for her. Because I'm not that way. This is just a perspective.
It's your perspective.
Okay.
So you are that way because it's you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So do you believe that feminism has had a detrimental effect on society in any way?
Not detrimental. It's just that if feminism is going to be a part of society, then, you know, women need to step up.
What does that even mean? What does step up mean?
Well, it's kind of like it goes hand in hand with the equal rights thing, this feminism stuff.
Yes, this feminism stuff
goes hand in hand with the equal rights thing. If women want, you know, I'm burying myself here, but equal rights as far as, you know, certain jobs and certain things, then they should do the equal part. And I think over the years, women have come a long way. There's women mechanics and women helicopter pilots.
Do you think women should be are okay to be firefighters and police officers?
Yes, as long as they can do their part. Because I was watching a show the other night on TV about women firefighters and the gals, the James, the bras.
Just stop.
They were having a hard time lifting the hose.
What? I kind of faced off the second I heard.
I don't know. I think the morning show vibe from the callers has infected Scotty today. Would you describe your wife as a feminist?
I've torn her down a little bit. So, no.
So, who does the laundry in your house?
My wife.
Who cooks?
She does.
Who vacuums?
I'll do that.
You'll vacuum? What is
funny thing of you, Scott?
Disperse the chores?
If I talked to Mrs. J, would she give me the same answer? Would she say that she's a feminist?
I don't think so.
How do you define the term feminist, Scotty?
The way I define it is...
If I asked you to write down the definition, feminist definition, what would you define feminist as?
Someone who could do it equally as a man can. In other words, if I can do this particular whatever it is, then I, as a feminist, should be able to do that as well. That's one of my versions.
That
of,
makes
okay.
I don't understand
that sentence. I'm in the tall grass there. I got nothing. Let me try this again. Let's pretend that you are a talking dictionary, Scotty. How do you define the word feminist?
A feminist is... I keep mixing this up with rights, like, you know, equal rights. I don't know why I'm... They're kind of...
You're on the...
They're kind of related. Aren't they?
If someone from another planet came here and they said, I don't know what the word feminist means, please to be telling me, what would you say? A feminist is someone who...
Well, if they're coming from another planet...
Don't be smart.
I was going to tell them that we're going to eradicate it,
yes,
so...
Yes. Okay. No, a feminist is... Just complete the sentence. A feminist is someone who...
Feels like they can do anything. I don't know.
So they just get a real chipper outlook.
You know, there's a lot of words out there.
Good morning.
There's a lot of words I know that I totally know what it means and everything, but I can't...
This is not one of those words.
Yeah, if you're talking feminist,
it's real easy, dude.
No. Okay, well, okay.
No. See, stop. That chair has a weird effect where people want to...
God, you can't tell.
You can't tell.
Peter Carlin wanted to do it.
I know.
They get smart in that chair.
Complete the sentence. A feminist is someone who...
believes that women can do what men can do equally.
There you go. Okay. There you go. Fancy.
I knew it was like deep in my mind like about 10 minutes ago in this segment. And, yeah.
But you got there, Scotty. But, you know, you got there. No, eventually.
Push ahead.
Well done. Okay, thank you, Scotty.
Well, thank you, Rick.
There you go. Scotty J. with the Suburban Perspective on Feminism. All right. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. Don't forget, you can always get your questions to Scotty J. And, Scotty, we're going to do those remaining Monster Jam passes. What do we have, two or one? I think it's two.
It might be two.
All right. We're going to do the remaining passes here to Monster Jam. Monster Jam, which is coming up all this weekend at the Rose Garden. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We will take callers 5 and 6 now. You win a pair of passes each to see Monster Jam at the Rose Garden, which is happening all this weekend. 503-733-2970. All right, Scott Daly, what is coming up at FilmFeverRadio.com?
This week on FilmFeverRadio.com, Aaron is out without sick this week, so we recorded yet another show at Tony Starlight Supper Club with special guest Clyde Lewis.
Fantastic. Woo.
So I got my review of Hannibal, and Clyde gives us a Troma/Sundance review, and it's a good show.
Did he talk about seeing Christina Aguilera?
No, he didn't mention that.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I noticed he talked about Troma and their latest film, Poltergeist, which I'm all over. But, good times at FilmFeverRadio.com this week. And, another show at Tony Starlight's place.
Excellent.
If you haven't gone to yet, you all should check it out.
I don't know the sounder here. So you just mentally inserted in your head. Mailman Chris. Hello, sir.
Hello. Yeah, hey, I know we got no time. Get down. You got nine to do, boy.
No. Oh.
Hurry up.
All right, somebody else has got to do the clothes,
five
then.
Worst songs.
No, right. You can do it while you're doing push-ups.
All right.
Get your knees off the ground.
Come on, bend your arms. Yes, he is. His arms are even bending.
Oh,
six, seven, eight, nine.
All right. Gymnasium tomorrow at 4. 4 to 6. Fuel tomorrow, 9 to 11. We'll be back on Monday with the worst song ever. Red Hot Pistols, the top five, and so forth. Rick Emerson, show for today and every day with the lovely and talented Sarah Dillon for AM970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, Tim Riley, our PA, Scotty J. The gatekeepers, Dave's in. Thanks to Scott Daly, filmfigureradio.com. Have a good weekend. See y'all on Monday. Bye.
Wow.